Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Friend, God wants preaching. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul wrote, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Now, there are a number of methods, of course, available to us to spread the cause of Jesus Christ and his message and his gospel, but it'll always be primary to preach the gospel in a public way. The public proclamation of the gospel is to preach that gospel. But let's understand, not all preaching pleases God. In Galatians chapter 1, Paul said, "For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Preaching must first and foremost be that which God wants, that which is pleasing to God, not men. We should never be able to please all men anyway, but we can please God if we'll have the kind of preaching that God wants. Now, what kind of preaching the world gets and the kind of preaching that we need is sometimes very different. The preaching that God wants will, first and foremost, be preaching from the Bible, that which is true to the Bible, because we are taught to preach the Word, 2 Timothy 4. God's Word came, of course, from God. It's inspired of Him, 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible not only contains God's Word, the Bible is the infallible, inerrant, inspired, all-sufficient, authoritative Word of God. The Apostle Peter admonished, "If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God." It means that we preach and teach, "Thus saith the Lord," book, chapter, and verse. Now, the nature of the Bible, it's such that we either accept all of it, or we just are rejecting it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. Without faith, we can't please God, Hebrews 11. We cannot live without His Word, Matthew chapter 4. The Scriptures testify of Christ, John chapter 5. And we're going to be judged by His Word, John chapter 12. And what has been written that we might believe, John chapter 20. William Jennings Bryan one time was asked if he believed the story of Jonah being swallowed by the fish. And he replied, "If the Bible had said Jonah swallowed the fish, I would believe that too." Well, friend, that's the attitude that we must have. We either accept what the Bible says in all that it teaches, or we're rejecting it. Who do we think we are to take God's Word and pick out, "I'll accept this and I'll reject that"? Now, there be some who deny the miracles that are recorded in the Old and New Testament, and they make a strenuous effort to try to explain them in some kind of naturalistic term. But God can deny the work, and who can deny the work of Jesus Christ and still claim to be Christians when Christ endorsed the miracles of the Old Testament, like a flood, and the account of Jonah and Lot's wife? Actually, there's no justification, there's no cause whatever to say, "I accept part of it," and turn around and then deny part of it. I once had a relative to tell me she believed in the account of the resurrection, but she didn't believe in the virgin birth of Christ. That is so silly. That is so foolish. That is so inconsistent. That's not intellectual honesty. The same Bible that tells us of one tells us of the other. Who is she to select and choose what to accept? And the same thing is true of each one of us. Some accept faith, but they deny baptism. What right do you have to do that? Consistency is a characteristic with some obviously not familiar with the respect that they should have for the Word of God. It's all or nothing when it comes to the Word of God. And God is pleased with preaching that exalts Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what we're trying to do over this broadcast for a number of weeks. Paul said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Now the preaching of Christ, that includes his pre-incarnate state. It would be his birth by the Virgin Mary. It would include his life, his words, his miracles, all the deeds that he performed, and certainly it would include his death, burial, resurrection, his ascension into heaven, and his promise to return again, his warnings and his promises to the faithful. Everything related to Christ, that's the proper material for preaching that God wants. And God wants preaching that makes a clear distinction between what is right and what is wrong. Now, I realize that today there are some deny there is such a thing as right and wrong. But we would question, how do they know they are right when they say there is no right and wrong? Why, we read of the condemnation of the doctrines of men. We read of the condemnation of error. We should preach Christ and the doctrine of Christ. In Matthew 15, Jesus said, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1 against what he's called a perverted gospel, which is not really a gospel, but that is something that men have put forward. Now, there are both positive and negative elements in the truth of God. And sometimes people say, "Well, just preach the truth and let's just leave other people alone." Friend, there's not one single truth of the Bible that you can preach that somebody doesn't take exception to it and disbelieve it. You can't leave people alone and preach the truth, because the truth applies to everybody, and we must accept all of the truth. Preaching the Word of God involves reproof and rebuke, as well as exaltation. One cannot preach the gospel by just centering and confining himself to either a positive or a negative nature of preaching. He must preach the whole counsel of God. Is it not a mark of maturity to be able to distinguish between good and evil and right and wrong? What the Lord says we are to do, we must include that. What the Lord says we're not to do, we must include that. You know, the problem with a lot of us, and maybe it involves you, that they don't want what God says in its total nature. They especially is this true of those who are so liberal and want to do their own thing. They don't want to be disturbed in their sins. They don't want to be disturbed from the doctrines that they've just hold on to without biblical support. They prefer teachers that will scratch their ears and give them what they want. But the rub comes with them. They are not accepting the truth of the Bible that God wants. Now, God also wants, and here is a difference with a lot of people, God wants preaching that exalts the church. The church was bought by Christ. He bought it with his own blood. He said it's a glorious church, Paul did in Ephesians chapter 1. It's the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of it. Now and again, you'll hear some so-called preacher talk about, "Preach Christ and not the church." Friend, you can't preach Christ and not the church if you preach what the Bible teaches, because Christ is the builder of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's the head of the church. He's the Savior of the church. The church is identified by being His. It's the church of Christ. And therefore, you cannot preach the life of Christ, the work of Christ, the mission of Christ, the goal of Christ, without preaching that institution that He established and bought with His own blood. It is an admission of biblical ignorance to talk about preaching Christ and not the church. Talk about preach the man and not the plan. Friend, you can't do that if you preach the Bible. We honor Christ and we honor His word and His work by preaching the church. Paul declared the church to be a glorious church, and we do not neglect Christ when we preach concerning the church. We exalt Christ by exalting His body, which is the church, which He purchased with His own blood. And dear friend, God wants preaching that will convict the sinner of the error of his way, his guilt of sin, and tells him what God has done so he can do what he must do in order to be saved. You can listen to a lot of preachers and you will never learn what the Bible says one must do in order to be saved. Now, John says that sin is a transgression of the law. That's God's law. And we can violate that law by doing what ought not be done. And we can violate that law by failing to do what ought to be done. And the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, teaches men that they're guilty of sin. They can't save themselves, but God loves us and God has provided a Savior. Then that Savior is Jesus Christ. And the Word of the Holy Spirit tells us what Christ has done that we might be saved. That's the kind of preaching that God wants. So much preaching today will lull people into an acceptance and a lullaby and will leave them in their sins, and they don't know that they're still lost. Yes, go back to this idea of preaching the church. God wants preaching that builds up the church with exhortation, with edification. He wants preaching that keeps the church pure and free from error in doctrine and in practice. He wants preaching that maintains Christian living, demanding purity of life of the Christian, that feeds the child of God so that he can grow to spiritual maturity and do the work of being a child of God that God has assigned. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Yes, God wants preaching that will strengthen and build up and edify His people, the church. Peter said to Christian people, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what I've tried to do in the lesson today, and very hastily, is just to touch upon a few of the characteristics that should characterize all preaching. Now, it doesn't. Some preach their feelings, some preach their theories, some preach their denominational dogmas, but preaching that pleases God is the kind of preaching that elderships would demand, that memberships ought to demand, and preachers who won't preach the whole counsel of God should be moved out of their pulpits and not allowed to return to them. So sadly, many have allowed the silly nothings and mouthings of a clergy-type speakers until people are just ignorant of what the truth is. They're soft on error and they're overflowing with liberalism, hypocrisy, and worldliness, digression. Well, friend, there's a kind of preaching that will save, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is God's power unto salvation, Romans 1:16. We're saved by the gospel, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 15, and chapter 15 also. And if we do not follow the gospel, we're not following what God wants preached. Let's keep in mind, when we hear a message that's supposed to be a religious message, do like the Bereans. Search the scriptures to see whether or not it is so. And if it is according to the scripture, believe it, but also obey it. And if it's not according to scripture, realize that it's false and it's not the kind of preaching that God wants. Well, we're glad for you to listen to our program each day. We hope that you'll continue to listen. And this has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.